Hello, and welcome to The Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Cali, and I am joined by a very special guest, Mr. Retro Deluxe. How are you doing today, Mr. Deluxe?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited to talk about our anime today.
Yes, me too, because we are talking about Stop Hibari-kun, which stars one of the 1980s It Girls, probably top five It Girls of It Girls, Hibari-kun. I had to put the kun in there, or else it wasn't gonna work.
Yeah, I'm really excited to start talking about it. It was really fun revisiting the series, and at first I was slogging through the first few episodes, and it starts to really pick up, and it's like a super enjoyable experience and a real treat.
Oh, absolutely. Before we start, I guess, well, as a start, we should say what this anime slash manga is about, because you watched the anime and you read the manga, correct?
I haven't read the whole manga in a while, but yeah, I have in the past. And yeah, there's some great strong parallels between the two, but also some big parts where they diverge.
Well, Stop Hibari-kun is this anime about this dude named Kosaku whose mother passes away. I guess he just didn't have a dad. Well, we never knew. And her was the Yakuza man her ex-lover or just a friend? Or
so there's one time where the teacher jokes about Kosaku's dad being an alcoholic. I have no clue if that's true or not. But the teacher, when she's introducing him to the class, does make a small joke about his dad. And yeah, it's implied that they had either been dating or they had been lovers at one point, Kosaku's mom and Ibari.
So Ibari, who I affectionately call Yakuza Man, but I will call him, no, I'm sorry, I have to keep calling him Yakuza Man because it just works for me, I'm sorry, but Yakuza Man basically is still madly in love with Kosaku's mother, and at the behest of her last wish, takes him in, and he meets Ibari's four beautiful daughters, only to find out that apparently the one who is the most beautiful our titular heroine, Hibari-kun, is, how does it describe it? Not actually a girl, but a boy. OMG. So that's the whole thing. Basically, it's about a dude who's like, am I gay because I think that she's hot? Or that's where a majority of the jokes come from.
Yeah, a lot of the jokes center around Hibari, passing as, and this is how she sees herself too, moving through the world as a woman, but a close circle of her family, and because Kosaku comes to move in and live with them, he's joined into that circle, who know that Hibari was not assigned female at birth, and that is the source of a lot of jokes, is people kind of in her close circle losing their mind over it, or the ways that she navigates through the world with these people that she must have on her side, so to speak.
Which, it's weird because they'll talk smack to her face, but then at the same time, they will go to great lengths to protect her secret, which it's interesting. It's really interesting that they keep this secret. I think for some of them, it's like, oh, this would be a huge source of embarrassment for the family. But others are like, oh, I mean, yeah, I know. I talk a lot of, I badmouth Hibari, but at the end of the day, Hibari is Hibari, and I want to respect that, which you really get from, and I'm having trouble with, like, the two older sisters that she has.
Tsugumi and Tsubame.
Them. They're pretty cool about it. Well, the oldest is. The second oldest is, like, kind of mean, but also, like, that's my sister, so, you know, don't. It's like, it's actually just like that, I don't know if you've seen this video, where it was like, we're siblings. If we weren't related, we wouldn't be friends in real life. But since we are, I love you.
Yeah, the relationship between Hibari and a lot of her siblings is a little bit contentious, but I do think frequently throughout, even I think Tsubame is the prickliest. She still frequently expresses that life would be a little bit boring if Hibari was just like everyone else. So I think there is, even though they are embarrassed sometimes, or they feel like they keep Hibari's secret, not out of a real genuine respect for her identity, but more out of their concern for their own reputations. Still, it seems obvious that underneath that excuse is a genuine affection for her because she's special.
Absolutely, especially the youngest sister, because I don't think over the entire course of the anime, the youngest sister ever called Hibari her brother or said he. At least in the fan translation that I saw.
I'm not sure, but it's definitely Suzume is definitely the most adaptable. She's like very ready to embrace Hibari. And I think she's one of the first characters to come right out and say, like, I don't want Hibari to like become some kind of normal boy. She likes Hibari the way that she is. And I think like we even see that develop through Ibari. He starts off being pretty strict and abrasive towards Hibari, but throughout the series I feel like he starts to show more of like a cuddly, like heart of gold. He refers to Hibari as his daughter, and then he acts like it's this big accident, but you can tell it's because in his heart, like that is how he starts to think of her. He starts to make comparisons between Hibari and her late mother, which is like a really sweet episode.
That was one of my favorites. And then there's Kosaku, who, like I said before, his big thing is just, and after a certain point, I don't think he even cares anymore. He's like, okay, Hibari is assigned male at birth, is a woman. At first it's like, oh no, I can't fall in love with a man. And it's like, you know what? No, she's a girl and she's pretty hot. I'm into it. Also, her personality, like everything about Hibari-kun. When I started the episode by saying that Hibari was one of the it girls of the 80s, I meant it because she has everything going for her. She is one, the funniest character in her own show. Well, except Hibari and the crocodiles. That's pretty funny. How he spazzes out whenever he sees croc, or he when he spazzes out, he sees white crocodiles. That's pretty funny. I don't know why that keeps making me laugh, but she's smart, athletic, and it seems like nothing, well, not nothing, but a lot of things typically just tip kind of in her favor. And whenever someone tries to make her the butt of the joke, they end up being the butt of the joke, and she just comes out on top. I think it's great that all the knowledge that we have in 2024 about gender and sexuality, that even if this wasn't Iguchi's intention, he was able to bring at least a little bit of understanding to this subject matter that he probably didn't realize was subject matter.
So I'm going to contest your point about Kosaku. I think through with the arc that we see throughout the story is him coming to terms with perceiving himself as being some kind of pervert. I don't think he ever really learns to embrace Hibari for being like not a normal girl because she's, like you said, the best at everything, like unbelievably so, perfect in pretty much every way. But he It's less about him ever like acknowledging and recognizing her, and more with him coming to terms with like the fact that his sexuality might not be exactly what he perceived it to be at first. This is not a problem that Hibari has. She thinks of herself as a girl. She has no questions about her identity, which is one of my favorite parts of the show, is it is not an introspective show. It is not about Hibari getting lost in some kind of mopey self-discovery confusion. She is not a confused girl. She is the most self-assured character in the show. And like you said,
She's the it girl.
she is it. She is the one that solves everyone's problems throughout the show. Her own problems, Kosaku's problems, her family's problems. She's the one that comes up with the detective. She like brings in her friends to like start the detective service to save her dad's financial situation. She's always the one that has a solution, either brains or brawn.
Oh yeah,
But
because she can like beat people up really good too.
she's very strong. I love that. I love that. And I actually saw this. I have a quote here. Let me see. I'll find it. Oh yeah. Okay. So I found this quote from psychologist Tamaki Saito that contributes the unique appeal of Hibari to Hibari's girlish exterior contrasted with a male interior, which I totally disagree with. I think that Hibari's strong and athletic but feminine physique is like this really cool aspect of the show that goes against a stereotype, but isn't actually that weird because we all know like plenty of sporty women. And so it's really cool that she doesn't have to play to this like overly feminized in like a way that she couldn't even be athletic or wear pants. She like gets to rock all these like cute slacks. She gets to play sports. She gets to be good at them, just like all of her peers get to play sports. And she gets to be the best, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's like Spike Spiegel said, I love a woman who can kick my ass.
Exactly. Yeah, that's her.
So you actually did bring up a really fun aspect of the series. I would say that it started with Urusei Yatsura in 79, well, 81 for the anime, but Stabby Body-kun was one of the, I would say, pioneers of fashion and anime and manga, because mainly, I would say mainly Hibari and Kosaku, maybe strictly Hibari and Kosaku, they can dress really well, and they're like not wearing the same thing every day, which I really appreciate. So I don't know. That's just a fun little thing for me. I've been friends with 90s anime fashion for a few years now, and she has all these little fun tidbits and stuff. And she'll be like, "So did you notice this and this and this?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, I didn't, but I do now." And then I go and I watch these shows, and I'm specifically looking at clothing. And Hibari just brought it. I keep saying it because it's true. Hibari was the it girl of the mid 80s.
She dresses really well, and that's another like interesting connection between Hibari and Urusei Yatsura. It's like the dawn of like the brash protagonist girl that like for some reason the main character is like too stupid to realize she's like the best. And meanwhile, the whole audience is like, oh, we love her. Yeah, I love the fashion. I love. In the manga too, it really shines and it's super flattering and like very brings an exciting element to each episode.
All in all, and this, I hope this doesn't undermine any of the things that we have to talk about coming up, but I would say the main reason for making this episode and on full transparency and having you on is just I think Hibari is a cool girl, and I really love the merch that you make, and that was it. I know that there are a lot of articles, and there are a lot of thoughts about things like personal treatment, trans representation, and other things. But when When I saw your sticker, and I think you're the one who told me what the show was, I was like, okay, so it's just like another cute anime girl show, and she's wearing these cool clothes. And basically, if you strip everything down to that core, that is literally what you're getting. But then you peel back more and more and more, and there's a lot of messed up stuff here, but it all stems from the fact that she's just really cool. And without her, I understand that the show wouldn't be what it is for a lot of reasons. But I think if Hibari's personality and her clothing were anything other than what they are, I more than likely would not have set by and finished the show. So I guess what's really what I'm trying to say is there are very few shows that I can think of where I mainly show up for one character, because you know how like in Pokemon you have Ash, who at first travels with Misty and Brock, and then like May, Max,
I
Dawn.
never made it past Misty and Brock.
Oh. Well, think about it. Like, did you really only show up for Ash?
I think I was there for the animals, for the little guys,
The them too.
Yeah, them.
Them too. They were all there with their own little personality. The main selling point of Stop Hibari-kun is Hibari-kun. Like, even if we go to Urusei Yatsura, I can find things that I like about other characters. Lum is a great and crucial, I would say, the crux of the story, but she has an awesome cast of characters around her that are fun to explore in their own rights.
Oh, yeah.
With this show, if Hibari was any less Hibari, there would be no show. Like, she is the namesake for a reason. Like, Cowboy Bebop, who's the fucking Bebop? Who's the cowboy? It's not just Spike. Spike isn't the only cowboy. I wouldn't watch the show for just Spike. Samurai Champloo, I wouldn't watch it for just Mugen. Oh, wait, God, they're voiced by the same English actor. Is that why I said that? I don't know. But I don't get that with this series, so really, that is an impressive feat to be that. I don't know if emotionally compelling is the right word. Is it captivating? Is that what I'm looking for? Or just fun?
I mean, I think she is a compelling character. It definitely has all of the fixins of like your standard 80s like slapstick wacky gag comedy. It has like the atmospheric backdrops, and it has the like great blocky bright colors, and it has all your standard episodes, your sport episode, your detective episode, your romance episode, that your beach island episode, your travel episode that you expect out of the anime of this time period. But yeah, I mean, it'd be pleasant to watch, but it wouldn't be remarkable in any way without Hibari.
Right. So
She brings the show.
she brings the show. She is the show. She
Yeah, she's
literally
the
is the
show.
show.
Yeah.
And it's also just very refreshing because I think I did finish this show in 2023 for the first time, but it is so refreshing to, as you said, see somebody who is so self-assured with who they are. Hibari never once questions who she is nor what she can do.
No, what she does is she sows that kind of insecurity in other people
Yeah.
who need to then look inside of themselves, like Kosaku, and say, like, is there something wrong with me? Never her. She is fine.
And on top of that, she is a pretty good shit talker when she has to be.
Yes.
And I love that for her. Again, and I will not stop saying this. She is what we would say in 2024, she is an it girl. because she just
Yeah.
has all the it factors. And I go, Hibari. Don't stop, Hibari-kun. Go, Hibari-kun. But I know we have to move on. But I had to say that without her, I would not like this show. I'll be perfectly honest. But
Yeah,
you.
she's definitely has, yeah, she's clever. She's really naughty. She's like kind of an imp. She's like, yeah, she's great. She's a very entertaining force of chaos.
Oh God, yeah. What is that? Like chaotic good? Isn't there like a
Yeah,
scale of
yeah.
nine? Yeah, she's on the
But she's
chaotic
naughty.
good.
Sometimes she's naughty.
Chaotic
She
neutral.
yeah. I don't know. She can go either way. She can be a little self-serving, and but she's always interesting, and you always root for her.
I mean, it would be boring if it were any other way. We all need some selfless savior character or anything like that in every show.
No, yeah, this like also fits the mood of the show so perfectly. It is like a light, low stakes, easy, fun show.
Yeah. With some really weird other stuff that
Yeah.
can be deterrents for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the art, some of the caricatures on people and a lot of
Oh,
the
yeah.
jokes, you have to have a certain layer of protective skin to watch this and be 100% unscathed, because dear Lord, do they say
Yeah.
and do some things and do some people look some ways that you really have to look past and say,
It's so racist.
yeah, it's pretty
It's so
racist. And you
racist.
have to say, well, it was the 80s. As see, me and Mr. Deluxe and I, Mr. Deluxe and I, you see, we are historians, I suppose you could say. We are purveyors and surveyors of anime from all times. So anywhere from early 1900s to the 2020s, we just find stuff and watch it. And this is the first time that we've come together on podcast form, but we have had conversations outside of this, mainly over DM, but we talk about these different anime, and it's just there are things that are very much a product of their time, but that doesn't mean that they lose their cultural significance. And this is just one of those shows where I would just recommend. It's quite prickly.
Yeah, there's definitely a few points that are they're pretty bad, and like even for the time, you like really want it to be handled better. You really wish that that wasn't the joke. But it's definitely there, and if you're willing to kind of pick through to find like the good stuff. But yeah, there's definitely tons of racist caricatures. There's like tons of teen nudity, which I don't know, maybe for the audience, that's fine, but it's really weird when you're not a teenager and you know the people making it are not teenagers. There's like an episode where Seiji like almost dates a high school girl and like nobody even bats an eye. And it's Hanako, the like really like body shame character who's like portrayed as being like kind of a glutton and a bully and mean and ugly, and she's one of like the children for or children, yeah, I guess children from the school that the high school bully
Didn't
group
somebody straight up call her like an ape once?
could be. Yeah, I'm not. I would not be surprised to hear that. She's always like depicted having like some kind of tantrum with her like huge fists and like eating like tons of food and like, yeah.
So again, like I said, I'm mainly here for Hibari.
Yeah.
Because there's. Yeah, like I was saying, you have to look through a lot to actually enjoy the show. To appreciate it, I would say you'd have to, maybe 40, 50% tuned in, but to actually enjoy it, you have to be like 100% just able to acknowledge that it's messed up, wash over, let it wash over you, and just say, all right, let's keep going. Not to say that you have to. If you don't want to watch something like this, it can be pretty bad, so you really don't have to. We just really like Hibari, so that's why we're here.
There are a lot of good parts, but there's obviously no excusing some of
No,
the bad parts
not
are
at
pretty
all.
bad.
No, I don't. It's weird. Like, maybe at 26, I'm more sensitive about my time and what I watch. So, like I said, being a historian, being somebody who researches this, I still don't want to have my time wasted, and I don't know. I didn't really I was uncomfortable, but I didn't really get that. I wasn't like super pissed at any point.
Yeah, I mean, the spirit of the humor is never like pitchfork mob coming for like a certain group of people. It's always just like, isn't it funny if someone looked like this? And you're like, wow, that's the joke. And all you can do is kind of like roll your eyes and be like, ugh.
And wait for Hibari to come back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of show that isn't that, but it does pop up.
Yeah. So I understand that you had some questions that some of your community, the Retro Deluxe community, had, and a
Yeah,
later comment.
I got a couple of feedbacks here. I got a question, and I also just got like a sweet little feedback that I thought I would read. So Retro Sofa, my friend on Instagram, asks how we feel about the anime original episodes versus the just straightforward. Oh, sorry, I'm gonna start over. Retro Sofa, my friend on Instagram, asks how we feel about the anime original episodes. So the only one that's popping to mind besides like the finale is the ET one, which whatever. I mean, I will watch a Hibari version of ET. It's not really groundbreaking for me. And he also asks our thoughts on the manga finale versus the anime finale. And you mentioned that you haven't read the manga finale yet, so I won't spoil it for you. But there's a super special character that comes in some of the last episodes that I think is really great and worth checking out. But the anime finale, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Would it be bad if I said that I thought it was a bit cheap? It would be
I mean,
bad. You're nodding your head
no, oh,
yes.
no, I was just nodding along.
So I guess what gets to me, and I kind of have this problem with a lot of manga and anime that were released in the 80s, and I mean, it still happens, but like, remember with Yu Yu Hakusho how the last maybe the last 20th, maybe the last 10th of the show just feels extremely rushed?
I'm gonna show my ass here, and I haven't finished it.
I won't spoil it then, but it just kind of it. Yu Yu Hakusho actually has an ending, from what I've read, and from what you sent me and what you told me. Iguchi didn't actually finish Hibari, and it ended on a cliffhanger. So I think the anime tried to just stop, but it felt really awkward. And they're basically like, well, we don't have anything else to do right now, so we're just not gonna do anything. And it's like, I get it, but I didn't really care.
I didn't really like get it. Maybe I wasn't paying very close attention this watch, but it was like, I don't understand if like whatever the pickled onions like gave her ESP or like did the alligators give her ESP, but yeah, it was definitely a bit of like it's fun to think about her having a weakness, like a kryptonite, which I guess is kind of what they were going for. but it doesn't feel like a real ending. I mean, I like the idea of thinking like, well, we know that forever, like for infinity, she's just going to be like creeping closer and closer into Kosaku's heart, doing her thing, being wily and naughty. So that's fun to think. I'm glad that they don't go back on anything or like try to like invalidate anything. They just make her have bad breath, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It didn't click with me. I remember being on, 'cause there's 39 episodes, right? Or are there 37?
I think like 37, probably 38, 37. I don't know.
So I get to the episode before last, and it says, "Get ready for this great final episode, the last episode," which like it feels like it comes that feels like it comes out of nowhere in
It
itself.
does, yeah.
Because I'm like, we just finished this. Why is this the last episode? And then I watch it and I'm like, so okay, I love this show, but I feel empty. I don't even feel robbed because like nobody had any control over any of this, but it's like maybe you could have pulled a Full Metal Alchemist 2003 and did your own thing.
I'm like a chronic endings hater, so nothing they did was going to be good for me. I like always get a little sad when something that I really like ends. I'm like, it's never going to be satisfactory to me. The only satisfactory option for me is for it to like keep going, but that's never good either because things start to kind of lose their sparkle as they go past their expiration date, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, did you finish Urusei
I have not finished the manga. I've read the no, I've watched the entire anime, but I haven't finished the manga.
Did you watch the movies?
I've seen most of the movies. They're pretty weird.
Did you watch movie 5?
Which one's that?
What's it called? The Final Chapter.
No.
Okay, well, I won't spoil that, but it basically kind of is in keeping with what it is that what you just described, because it is saying this is going to keep happening, but it feels as though we still get some sort of closure, which I guess is what happens when you are able to end something on your terms and the studio is able to work with that,
Yeah.
because to have 195 episodes and 5 movie, because movie 6 doesn't count, that is one a lot of
It's a lot.
that's a lot to cover, especially when there are some anime only or some anime exclusive episodes
Yeah.
like that have nothing to do with the manga, which
Some compared to Hibari, some very strong anime-only episodes and anime-only characters, very strong.
But to have that liberty of like Miss Rumiko Takahashi being done and them saying, "All right, yeah, we'll just do all of this. You know, it doesn't matter how long it'll take it, we're just gonna do all this." That's great. Because Higuchi couldn't finish this, I think that is why even though I love the show, I can't say in good faith that I am happy with the ending.
So this actually brings to mind, I was preparing for this, doing a little bit of research, and I watched a really good video analysis by Pyramid Inu, and they talked about how they felt like probably due to their own hang-ups, both the team working on the anime and Iguchi writing the manga, they probably kind of reached the limit to what they were comfortable really pushing. Because in a lot of ways, for the time, this does push a lot of boundaries. And it does it in like a playful, like silly, goofy, wacky way, but like still maybe this is like as far as the team, both teams at the time were willing to really take it.
Which is fair. I mean, when you really think about it, there are some.
Like what would happen next, you know? Like they have to consummate the relationship.
Yeah, which again, sometimes there are shows and studios that are okay with going forward, sometimes there aren't. I mean, I'm pretty sure Arakawa gave Bones the okay to do their own thing for Fullmetal Alchemist 2003 because she wasn't done writing it. But then you get something like what is it, Dead Man Wonderland, where they just completely butcher what they already had. But like people have their reputations on the line and whatnot. So yeah, that does make sense. And
And they have their comfort levels and their own biases.
yeah, right. So if there's nothing left, then there really is nothing that can be done. But there's always, even if you understand, which I do, I understand that there is nothing that really could be done. But I appreciate finality. I like when things are complete. I am honestly kind of worried about Nana for that reason. Like, Nana is not done, and I want it to be done. Like,
Gosh.
I'm reading through it now. I'm on volume either 8 or 9, and I'm just sitting here. I'm actually gonna look back at my
And you know,
shelf, right?
Iguchi keeps threatening. He
Right?
keeps like, and maybe it's been like a while since his last threat, but he keeps threatening to do like a spin-off or a sequel or something. He does make those threats.
Okay, how can you do a sequel when you didn't finish the original story?
Continues on. Maybe they'd be like, you know.
What, like
Living
Fruits
together.
Basket another? 'Cause guess what? Fruits Basket actually ended.
Don't know. Who knows what goes on in his mind?
Well, apparently Hibari does, because I guess he wants some more of that self-insert action, because Hibari is what Iguchi thought he would be if he were a woman, which.
Yeah, that his. He said he draws not his ideal girl to date, his ideal girl to be.
Which, that's some pretty deep stuff when you think about it.
Yeah, I
That
think that
is.
could be like one of, not to like get too deep into the weeds of his personal business, but perhaps a good reason why Hibari is so special.
It's almost like saying, if I were a woman, I would do no wrong, or I could do no wrong. I got respect.
Or
Like,
if you were
respect,
going to be
Iguchi.
a woman, you would want to be the strongest, the smartest, the cleverest, the best, the sportiest, you know? It's a total fantasy.
The male urge to be a female. I remember those memes rolling around like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I don't know. What year is it? It doesn't matter. Anyway, you said that you had. So we answered the question from your couch friend, your sofa friend.
Yes. Oh, and we got one more comment from Psychic Skin on Instagram, who just wanted to pipe in and say, though I wouldn't call it great trans representation, Hibari isn't the worst and has these moments of progressiveness. I think that what I find really interesting is that her story isn't tragic at all. She's the prettiest, strongest, and smartest student at her school. As a trans femme, this is what I find redeeming about the series. And I think that is a really succinct way of talking about how this series brings a lot of like really redeeming qualities kind of inexplicably.
Ma'am, you just said everything that Mr. Deluxe and I have been trying to say in, what was that, two sentences?
Three.
Three sentences? So, yeah, you got us beat. You are the equivalent to the greatest podcaster in America, and I applaud you, madam. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, no, it is. Thank you for that. I'll have to tag them. You'll have to send me their profile if it's not private, and I'll have to give them thanks when I post this. And let's see, was there anything else that we?
Do you want a lightning round? Any likes or dislikes that you didn't get to squeeze in?
Sure. Let me think. Okay. All right. Yep. Lightning round, because I I know we talked about we talked about racism. All right, look. No, look, I'm going to be very straightforward with you. All right. I am a black man. I have above normal sized lips, I suppose. When I see the lips on some of the dudes that Higuchi drew, I'm like, you anger me. It's like that Dragon Ball Z abridged episode where Piccolo's like looking at semi-perfect Cell and he's like, okay, what's up with his lips? Am I allowed to be offended by his lips? And he's like, are you afraid of Mr. Popo's lips? Can we talk about that? So I feel that way about some of these characters. Very much so, actually.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have to see some like skin crawling, like bones through the nose kind of things. A
Yeah,
lot
when
of
they were on that island.
yeah, a lot. It's I feel like they do it constantly. Like they also use Seiji for a lot of those jokes. They like randomly will give him like a funny hairdo or like some body paint. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot. But that's I know there are a lot of other messed up things in the show, but that just gets to me. I don't know. Seeing, I would say mainly 70s and 80s anime where they draw darker skinned people with these really comically large lips always gets to me, especially because people in the 90s and the 2000s got it right. Like Anthy from Utena and pretty much every character that Tite Kubo ever created that was black. I was like, it's not so hard. It was never hard. Actually, wait a minute. Going back to Urusei Yatsura, I think they actually did have like another version of Lum that might have been black. I'm trying to remember if that's true or not, or from some tribe or something. And they did her just fine. Nope. Yep. Nope. Iguchi, I'm mad at you now. I'm mad at you,
Yeah,
Iguchi.
it's a bit
The lightning
much.
is coming for you, Iguchi, because I am mad. All right. But what I did like, again, I said this earlier, but the baby sister was very sweet. Also, like everybody, like it was like you said, they're all teens, which bad things happen in the animation room because of that. But it's nice to see people like come to terms with things in their own weird ways because, though not to that degree, we are all coming to terms with something. We're all learning every day. And I don't know. I think it's just nice that there is some effort given towards personal growth and the growth of interpersonal relationships. So, but that would be my. The lightning is going towards Iguchi, and he
That's
is
where it
go and he
belongs.
is going to get struck,
Yeah.
wherever he is. But no, that's my lightning. So what's your lightning? Your
Okay,
lightning bolt.
well, I'm gonna touch on something that you kind of mentioned. I also like the way that some of the rules and the tropes of the show get like pushed and softened over time. Like Ibari's white alligator attacks that used to only happen when he was rejecting Hibari, then start to happen when he wears a pink loincloth or when he doesn't get to touch a wrestler's boob. I also really like how everyone gets to do drag at like several points in the show. Love that. I'm sure this is like for those with like less of a thick skin, this might feel like a little bit cringy, but for me, I love to see everyone in drag. I'm living for it. I love June, the character who is like definitely lesbian coded. She's very like S class manga style, and she's got a Takarazuka mom who's like always in drag and like her leather daddy brothers that all are like amazing. Those are such fun characters. Again, like big time caricatures, probably like vaguely offensive to people who aren't as weird as me. I love it. I love that Hibari is never a damsel in distress. That's one of my favorite parts. I love the variety of the show. It's got tons of a little bit of everything, which we also touched on a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, and dislikes. Did I get through everything? Yeah, I think I did.
So, to wrap everything up, this show is extremely silly, and it most certainly is not for everyone. Really, it's not for many people. You have to be of a certain breed to enjoy this show. But Mr. Deluxe and I, we both have that dog in us. And I'm not talking about a DOG because we don't go bark, wolf, whatever. We have that DAWG in us, which is how we were able to sit through this. If you are able to sit through it, you are either a true person of culture or you are a menace. We will never know. And you know what? That's okay. Everybody do your own thing. And we hope that you enjoy, if you are able to, Stop Hibari-kun. But with that being said, if you would like to follow Mr. Retro Deluxe, where can they follow you?
Oh, pretty much only on Instagram lately. I also have like a kind of sad little Tumblr going. I'm retro period deluxe on Instagram. I'm like kind of gravitating away, as I think many people are, from the Bird app.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, what, 2X's away from being something that it shouldn't.
If it was 3Xs, I might go back.
Oh,
Let
fair.
me know. Keep me posted.
I will, because I don't know, like, and see, now I'm getting off on a more tangent. I don't like that it doesn't have the bird anymore, that it has the X, because I
Oh
equate
yeah, look at me.
X.
I'm even using like outdated wordage
Well,
here.
no. When I see the X, all I think of is math. I don't even think of the alphabet. It looks like a math X. And so that makes me not want to use it. And I barely used it when it was a bird. I think I have used this numbers app maybe two times since it has devolved into what it is now.
Yeah,
So,
sad.
you know, it is what it is. But if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at Anime Alpha Goat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. And if you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider donating to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And also feel free to join the Discord server because we have really nice people in there and we could always use more to make the anime home more full. And I would like to thank you, Mr. Retro Deluxe, for joining me for this episode. Also, do you want to plug your merch or should I do that?
No, it's okay.
No? All right, I'll do it. Mr. Deluxe has amazing merch that is going to be in the description of this episode. So go check it out and support him because your work is amazing. I love it. He's blushing right now. It's fine. And yeah, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you all for listening. And with that, we are out.